We find in Megillah Rosh something fascinating. We find at the beginning of the Megillah, we find Megillah Rosh, Elimelech, Mamash Pasuk Beis. There was a famine in the land, and it was Elimelech, an important man, a rich man, a wealthy man, a powerful man, Veshem Ishtoi. Nomi's wife was Nomi, and he had two sons, Machlan and Kilyon. They were Ephrosim, which according to the Poskim means that he was, Rashi says, a Chshuvim, the important man. What happened was that they moved from Beis Lechem Yudah, from Eretz Yisrael, and they went to stay Moav, to the fields of Moav, which is out of Eretz Yisrael. Why did they do that? So Rashi tells us the reason why they went was, Rashi says, second Rashi, Ish Oshigol Hoya, he was a very wealthy man. Vepanas Adoy was the generation's greatest. In that generation was the greatest. That's the word. Thank you. And in fact, he gave love to Stocker. Vyotzom Eretz Yisrael, he left Eretz Yisrael. Why did he leave Eretz Yisrael? Mipnei Tzoros Ha'ayin, because of Tzoros Ha'ayin. What's Tzoros Ha'ayin? Stinginess. Stinginess. Why? Because people were getting poor. People were getting poor because of the famine, and they kept on asking for Tzoker. And you know, the first person who knocks on the door, you're okay to give a tenner, right? It's the second one that gets the fiver, and then afterwards, slowly, when there's a queue waiting outside, he goes down to the 50p vouchers, you know. Like when there's certain seasons of the year, when there's the hostel meals, and when there's kids' meal, and everything. Eventually, the first one, eventually it's the 50p vouchers, you know. So the Shaila is, that's why he was frightened. What's going to happen with his money? What's going to happen? He can't give all to the stocker. Now, what is absolutely fascinating, it's mind-blowing. It's a mamash, an incredible thought. What happened was that he went out of Eretz Yisrael, he moved to stay Moav. What happened there? What happened once he landed it? Once he ended up in Stein Mayov, he lost his money. He lost his children's life. He lost his life. He lost his money. Everything evaporated into thin air. Why did he lose all that? He lost everything. He lost his life. He got punished. All his fortune. Everything went. Everything got lost. Everything. There was nothing left of him and his wife. Nomi was just on her own after. Why? Because, as she says, the reason why they got punished was because they left Eretz Yisrael. So it's quite ironic. It's quite unbelievable. Had he stayed in Eretz Yisrael, and he would have continued giving tzedakah, so he would have remained wealthy. So he thought that by giving tzedakah and by sharing with others and giving to others, he's going to end up being poor. But in reality, it was quite the opposite. It was mamash the opposite. That once he stopped giving tzedakah, once he stopped sharing with others, that's when he went to stay Moav and he lost everything. So what comes out from this is that giving to others, he wasn't wealthy despite he was giving to others, but he was wealthy because of that. Everything he had, that's what we see from here, was in the schus of sharing with others. The second he stopped sharing with others, he lost absolutely everything. His money, his children, his life, Cholila. Because he stopped sharing with others. So it's quite incredible. So sometimes when we give to others, we think that we are really giving something away, but we don't understand that in reality, what we are really, it's the only reason why we had in the first place is because Hashem wanted us to share with others. Do you remember Dan Lopin's last, that story of Reb Lezer Golden? Reb Lezer Golden, do you all remember the story of Reb Lezer Golden? Reb Lezer Golden, he was the most choshving man in, he got married to a, he was the Lezer Golden, and he got married to a, he was offered a very rich shidduch, and he got married to Reb Vomitzchuk Naviezer, his daughter. He had only one daughter, and was an enormously rich man. In Litani, he became chosn, and he married his daughter. And this rich man, he said, whoever's going to be my son-in-law, I'm going to look after him. And he looked after him for years and years. And Reb Lezer Golden was such chosn, and after 2 years after he got married, the village next door wanted him to become a rov, an assistant rov. And he went to his shvei, said, should I take that job? He said, no, you're staying right here and you're learning Torah. He was staying right over here. And fine, a few years later, another job came up of a greater Kehila, a larger community, and he went up to Shesh Atik. He said, no, you stay right over here, you learn Torah. And he carried on like this. The communities became more prestigious, and more big, larger communities were offered him the job. But his father-in-law kept on saying, no, you stay right over here, I want the schus of you learning Torah in my house. Until Telz came. Telz was the foremost yeshiva and community in Litta, Telz. And Telz offered him the job of being the Rav. And then he didn't already. He went up to Shesh, I take. He said, you know what, I'm going to discuss with my wife. And his wife then and said, perhaps. And he said, and then Blaise Gordon's father-in-law said, who knows who is supporting whom? He said, am I supporting? Are we really supporting our daughter and son-in-law? Or are they supporting us? His wife didn't agree to that. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I think time has come for them to, you know, to take the job and to move out of our house. They moved out. And he took the job in Telz. He was actually very, very successful. He was very famous and a very, very important Rav. Blaise Gordon was a Rosh Yeshiva in Telz for many years. But most importantly, what happened was, he passed away that very day. Tadde Blaise Gordon moved out of the Shver's house, and his father had that very day, before he even arrived, his father-in-law had died. Which then, only then they understood what he means, who is really supporting, who knows, who is supporting whom. And in reality, it wasn't the father-in-law supporting the son-in-law, in reality, it was Mamash quite on the contrary, it was Blaise Gordon supporting his father-in-law. Therefore, the second that his father-in-law stopped supporting, that very day, he was actually an iftar. It's incredible. So I'm seeing this very story, Mamash and the Pesukim in the Megillah. It's almost that's what happened to this, that time that, when Elimelech moved out and he stopped giving tzedakah, that's when he lost everything. So we must see that very concept of who knows who is supporting whom, that is actually found in the Megillah. Okay. We're up to Simon Shinpei base. We're now going to be touching tonight, which I'm going to be touching on a very important topic, which is the question, how does it work nowadays with regards to Goyim and us living in a land of how does it work with us being amongst Goyim? How do we do the schiris with them? So let's see how that works. So again, if you have Goyim in one chotzer, what is the only thing that you can do? Well, how does it work? What do you do to have an Eruv Chatzeres with a Goy in the chotzer? Schiris, that's why I'm renting. Siv test teaches us. Chamish HaDorim Bechotze, if you've got 5 Yid living in one. So Simon Shinpei, Beisif Tes. Chamish HaDorim Bechotze, if there's 5 people living in one courtyard. Echot, Tzoricha Men Yehudi, Bishvil Kulam. What happens if you've got one Goy? Does every Yid need to go to the Goy? How do we call him, the Goy again? What's his name? Mr. Smith. Does everybody, out of those 5 people, do they all individually need to go to Mr. Smith and say, do you mind, can we rent the property from you? And then he says, all right. And you give him the 5 pence. The next neighbor comes and he says, do you mind if we rent the property? He gives him 5 pence. He says, all right. He says, no, you don't have to do that. It doesn't have to be that every single Yid needs to rent the property of the Goy. One Yid suffices. Echot Soicha Bein Yehudi. One Yid goes to the Goy. B'shul Kolam for all of them. Okay. Sivyut. Him Socha Mimenu Bal Kochoy. Anyway, what happens if you go to the Goy? And you go to the Goy. Mr. Smith, you better rent out your property to us. Otherwise. And then he says, oh, what should I do? So if you're forcing him, if you go with a gun, and he says, Mr. Smith, if you're not renting out this property for 5 pence, I'm going to shoot you. And then he's like, so what happens if you're forcing him to do that? Or you come with his massive basketball thing, and he says, you better, you know, you come with a few guys with his, because he come with them, and say, you better rent out for 5 pence. So what happens if you're forcing him? Does it work? So the halacha is, if you can rent from him, if you're renting him bal kochoy by force, einoy moil, it won't work. You can't force him. He has to willingly be happy enough to take the 5 pence from you. Even if for many years you had the opportunity of going to Mr. Smith and he would give it for 5 pence, if 1 year said, no, I'm stopping, and now you're going with your gun, and he said, you have to do it as well. So even if he did it for 10 years running, and now he changed his mind because he read too many articles in the, who are the most anti-Semitic? Yeah, he read too many articles. So, and now he says, no, actually, I prefer rather not. So, if he doesn't want to, you can't force him. Although, even if he's done it for 10 years running. Now, see if you, what happens if the Goy, now he read too many articles in the And the guy had to read the article. But the wife said, he's good. She went, Mrs. Smith, she's okay. She's okay. She doesn't tend to read so much. And she's still okay. Doing, you know, she's okay to... Can you go to Mrs. Smith and say, Mrs. Smith, do you know, can we just rent out the property for 5 pence just to, for us Jews to be able to carry in the building in this block? Can you go to Mrs. Smith, yes or no? And Mrs. Smith is not interested, no. Mrs. Smith is... Why not? You think Mrs. Smith will do? So, the halacha is, Avol Meishtoi, and what happens, what happens if Mr. Smith, could, you overheard the other day in the hall, in the corridor, up the stairs, you heard Mr. Smith screaming and yelling at Mrs. Smith, you dare take the 5 pence from the Jews, no way you're going to rent out our property for 5 pence for the Jews to carry here. And then you go the next day, so you know that he's not interested in it. You know he doesn't let. You know clearly you've got evidence that Mr. Smith is not interested. Mr. Smith does not want. But Mrs. Smith, you've seen the staircase, as she's walking up the stairs, she says, Mrs. Smith, do you mind if we do this thing again? What would you say then? And she says, okay. Yes or no? Mrs. Smith against the will of Mr. Smith. Yes or no? I'm not going to go into the Shalom Bayis aspect. Yes or no? Shulchan Aruch says, see if you dalef. Avol meishtoi, part from the wife, oy mischir v'lekito, we'll see soon what schir v'lekito is. Soichim, we do rent. Avol pishu moich, although he's moich and he protests against it. It does work. Yeah. So it does work. Now, Rabbi Sai, what is a schir v'lekito? Now we're entering a topic which is going to be accompanying us for quite a few. That's what we do. If next week it meets Hashem on... Wednesday, we're going to be asking Rabbi Lieberman, how do we carry in this domain whilst there's many goyim? The answer is not going to be yes. Rabbi Lieberman is going to say, yeah, I go to every goy and I give him 5 pence. No, that's not the way it works. So how does it actually work? The answer is chiro velekitoy. Rabbi Sai, it's a very much debated discussion. But what's chiro velekitoy is what is the key answer. What is chiro velekitoy? Chiro velekitoy works like this. Schir lekito is literally Mishnah Berurah says schir lekito. Sivkot lamed gimel. Oy mischir lekito. Perish tochil avoid kol hashana. Somebody who is a hired worker for the whole year. Lekito nimoy sakotzi for a period amount of time. So the way it works as follows. Let's say you have got the more wealthy families. They've got a in-house
maid.
You had that. Why don't you take her along? It was normal. Okay, why don't you just take her along? Yeah. Yeah, so you go to this maid of this non-Jewish gentleman, Mr. Smith. In this particular case, Mr. Smith is not interested in renting out. No. Mrs. Smith is also similarly not interested in renting out. But the maid called... What was your maid called? Pardon?
Selina.
Selina was the good one. Okay, you go up to Selina and say, Selina, I give you 5p and you give property. I just didn't speak Romanish, did she? Okay. So, I give you 5 pence and Afrikaans. How did they? Yeah. Afrikaans. So, I give you 5 pence and you will give us the property. The maid. No. Can't do the maid. Why? What about the son of Mr. Smith?
Again, no, because
okay, let's start with the son. The son, Mishnah Berurah says, Son Mishnah Berurah says, Sivkot Lamed Beis, Vuadin Me'echom B'nei Beis, yes, the family will do the family. Because, yes, sons does work. And the reason is, because we're not doing a formal acquisition. It is not a kinyan as we learned previously, it's more what? How do we say that it is? Yeah, so maybe, I don't like the word symbolic so much, but it is a hecker, a sign of something. It's a sign. It's a recognizable... It's a hecker, as Rashi said, as Mishnah Berurah said earlier. It's a hecker by elements of gotten chov beis. It's a hecker. Therefore, you can't do it from the son. You can go to Mr. Smith's son called Ike. You go to Ike and you say, Ike, here's the 5 pence, and you rent out the, and you give the 5 pence, and you'll, and and you had the property, he's going to say, yeah, sure, that works. So the son will work as well, the daughter will work as well, but it basically works. Now the question is about the maid called Selina. If I go up to Selina and I say, okay, Selina, you know, I know that your master and your master's wife, they're not interested, but I just want to carry in this domain. And the only way I can carry this chotzer is if you, Selina, you take the 5 pence. Now, if I imagine Selina, right, she'll take it. She will take it. The pound will do the trick, and she'll take it. Does it work, though? Does it work? The answer is yes. She's a maid, and she's just like, and that's the point. Since she has got permission herself to use, that's the vault. Since she has got herself the rights to use the area, therefore she can similarly also give the rights away to somebody else. Yeah, she can. She can use the chotzer. She can use the, she's made, she's allowed to use the chotzer, she's going to use it every day. She's sweeping it, she's cleaning it. She's allowed to use the chotzer. So just like she's allowed to use it, she's also allowed to give it away. So that's called Schiro Velekitoi. But 1 second here, that's the maid. What happens if it's not a maid? What happens if it's a hired worker, the electrician that comes in every month? Electrician comes in regularly. A regular electrician. And he comes in every now and then to... Are you allowed to go up to the electrician and say, okay, I'm going to give you 5 pounds, and with that, you're going to give us the shus of using the chotzer. Just like he's allowed to use the chotzer when he does work. Oh. Can you go to the electrician? Can you go up to the electrician that does work? You can go to Selina. Can you go to the electrician? Yeah. You can't. Why? What's the difference in Selina and the electrician? What is the difference? Why is Selina allowed to? What is chus? I wish you would know that we quote in share. Selina. Why is Selina allowed to give away the shoes to carry in the chotzer for 1 pound? Pardon? Because? Kavua. You see, there's a vote of kavua. That means if Selina would only come not regularly, then she wouldn't. If she wouldn't be an in-house maid, then it wouldn't be okay. Is that what you're saying? So the svov is we're differentiating between fixed and non-fixed. If somebody's a fixed worker in a house, regular, then they can rent it out. But if somebody's not fixed, then it would be a problem. The Maaser, Mishnah Berurah says clearly that it is not the case. So somebody is using that, he's paying it the whole year. Lekito is called. So that's the difference between Schiroi and Lekito. Schiroi, somebody's there the whole year round. He can certainly rent out the property, but even the Lekito, somebody's there for non-fixed time, he's also allowed to. And this, Rabbi Isai, is the opening of the very important discussion. How do we sort out the Chatzeros nowadays? That will be the answer. More on that in Hashem next year. How do we sort out chatzeres nowadays? And it has to do with the concept of schiro velekitoi, and we'll discuss that in greater detail in Mishem, and the approach of the poskim nowadays in Mishem, and how the various authorities are connected to this. We'll discuss them in Mishem on Sunday. Okay, I wish you a very good evening. Good Shabbos.